All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM. Frank Kramer is with us from Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Always nice to see you, dude.
Thanks for having me back.
And Gina Grad with the news. We continue here. What else is going on?
Yes, well, finally in entertainment news, Grey's Anatomy star Katherine Heigl took a controversial stand against the writers of her show today as she took herself out of contention for Emmy nomination this year. Heigl, who earned an Emmy for her work on the show last year, took herself out of contention because she felt her character, Dr. Izzy Stevens, had not been given adequate material. And we have some audio of Heigl explaining this a little further for you.
All right, here we go. Katherine Heigl.
I just didn't feel like I had any material that was worthy to submit.
Now, is that because of the writer's strike? Or?
No, I just wasn't given any material that I thought was
Oh, boy, what an insult to the writers, huh?
She's turned into a real bitch.
Wow, what happened to her?
That's
she
cold.
Had knocked up, had a couple successful movies, and now she's like, screw TV, yeah, I'm a movie star.
And she got down on Knocked Up, didn't
she? Yeah, saying it was sexist.
Oh,
but
man.
But she cashed that check, I bet.
I know. It's always fun to hear that, you know, people trashing the work that they, you know, millions and millions of dollars. It's almost impossible to make a hit movie nowadays. And so when you do a movie, you got to really get
sell
out there
it.
And do the publicity and sell it, not trash it. So, oh, that's too bad. I mean, that is a major insult to the writers. What a dope.
And like it's going to get any better now. Like, oh, you keyed my car. I do want to get back together with you. Now she's going to get the A-list stuff all next season.
I guess so. All right, anything else in the news, Gina?
That's what's happening.
It's Gina Grad with the news, everybody.
The news with Gina Grad.
Nice job, retards.
Give us 8.5 minutes and we'll give you, well, that.
All right, there she goes, Gina Grad. All right, now.
That could have been shorter. Could have been 5 minutes. That Grey's Anatomy story was kind of worthless.
Yeah, did you hear that, Gina?
Who really gives a damn?
Yeah, come on, Gina. Let's go, man.
Yeah, come on.
Produce that
slow news.
News
day?
Frank. Thanks, Frank. All right,
just
folks.
Trying to help you out, man.
Thank you very much. All right, Frank Kramer is with us, and Sunday is Father's Day. And, you know, it's a day to, and I, when you're a father, you're almost, you sort of forget that you also still have a father, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, I got double... the celebration there on Sunday. And it's a nice time to, especially when, like, Tim Russer was gone. He has a very special relationship with his dad, and Tim Russer died earlier today, a couple days before Father's Day. And he's written a book about his dad that was very good and a lot of great times with their dad. But as I look back on it, I've had, like, a million great times with my dad. And I don't remember that many with Mom, you know? It's really, really odd. But,
was she a disciplinarian?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why.
She's the one that if, you know, you fell off your bike, she would hit you because it was probably your fault, you know.
Watch where you're going, stupid.
Yeah, exactly. But my father is truly one of the great dads ever. And I had a lot of great memories with my dad. I remember when, you know, we had to go to church. We were grew up Catholic. My mom was very strict Catholic, very devout Catholic. And she made us go to church and CCD up until we were 18 years old, you know. I mean, I was like 16.
What the hell is CCD?
Catechism. It's like a Catholic school.
But like summer camp?
Well, no, it's once a week. And it was on Wednesday for me. At,
Wednesday church. That's
yeah,
what we called
but
it.
Yeah, Wednesday like at 4 to 5 or 4 to
night
6.
Night church. That sucked as a kid.
I had to go to this. All my other friends were, you know, riding skateboards to McDonald's. And I had to go there and sit and listen to a priest for 2 hours. And did you make
ever
it?
Ever get diddled?
You know, I never did. I never got hit on.
You offended?
Yeah.
You should be.
I don't
You're
know,
cute.
Because I don't know anybody that that did get hit on in St. Cyril's or St. Mel's or Lady of Grace. Those are the three churches I went to. I had like communion at one, confirmation another, and you know my first confession, which I believe was my last confession as well.
What was that large payoff that LA had to give out?
It was something like, I don't know, $78 million. It was a lot of money.
How many did each person who?
I think they got like $1 million.
See, is that why you're pissed too?
Well,
you'd have given it up for $1 million.
Oh yeah, I'd still give it up for $1 million.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I'd bang a priest for $1 million. Or let a priest bang me for $1 million.
Really?
Yeah, what the hell? Listen, if you got, if you're a man of the cloth and you got some dough, 520-9710, man, we can arrange something here. But I'm sure you got a lot of great stories or a lot of great memories with, with your dad as well.
Not really.
No? Is that
no. Well, because my dad was the disciplinarian in my
house. Your dad was?
Yeah, so he was fun, but he was, you know, no S. The West kind of guy. He was the guy who would smack you if you fell off your bike.
Right. Oh, I see.
And
right.
Mom was the nice, sweet woman.
Yeah.
But my dad never, I mean, he was always straight and narrow. He's always home after work, never went out with the boys, never drank beer. He was, I mean, I'm nothing like him.
Right. Exactly the opposite.
I'm exactly the opposite. I'm not saying I'm a bad dad, but I'm one of the guys who likes to go out and get a babysitter so I can go out and drink.
Right, exactly. Well, that's there's
I
nothing wrong with
right
that.
Right now.
Yeah,
is
that right?
I can come here and drink. You wonder why I come on your show all the time. I just want to get away from my kid.
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day.
You're spending thousands in babysitters.
Yeah. Like, hey, Tim, you need me again?
Yeah.
Can't take my kid anymore.
Yeah, you need me 5 days next week? I'm up. But I remember my father, you know, and again, we grew up in a sort of a different era where, you know, you could be less cautious with your kids. But I remember we had a pool in the backyard, and my father had set up a pulley system. He put a wire across the pool and a little, a little tire and a handle so you can actually, you know, ride
like
across
a zip line,
the pool. Yeah, yeah, a zip line, right. And he says, but when you get to the end, jump off, and so you fall in the pool. Don't hold on to this thing because you're going to go right into the phone pole. And my brother Sean got on, and he was too nervous to let go. All the way across the pool and smack right into the pole and fell down about 8 feet onto the pavement. My dad never thought, if you do hit the pole, maybe put like a mattress there to save the kid's life.
And then your mom came out and spanked him.
Yeah, right. My mom came down to yell at everybody. You know, it was all of a sudden it was everybody else's fault. But he would also protect us from my mom. Like I remember very distinctly in being in the living room and having a pillow fight with my brother. And I threw a pillow and I broke my mom's hurricane lamp. You know what those things? It's like a glass lamp that looks like an hourglass. And I broke it and it went into 1,000 pieces.
Okay.
So my dad comes in. He says, what happened? I said, I threw the pillow and I hit the lamp there and it's in 1,000 pieces. I could hear my mom upstairs starting to crank it up because she heard glass break, right? She comes down the stairs yelling already, what the Christ, who broke this goddamn thing? You know, it's yelling her ass off. She gets downstairs and she goes, who broke this effing lamp? And my dad said about himself, he goes, I did.
He took one for
me. He took one for me, man.
He hated that lamp.
And he said, I broke it. If you want to yell at anybody, yell at me. Which she did. But I remember my dad saving my ass. Because that was going to be about 2 weeks in the bedroom. Plus a radical ass kicking as well.
Yeah, when I thought my dad would kill me, and then he didn't kill me. Because I always thought he had that ability. Just,
right.
Yeah, he always gave that air that, I'll kill you, I don't care.
Is your dad still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive.
Do you think your dad could still kick your ass?
Yeah.
See, I do too. I think if I ever got in a fist fight with my dad, he would kick my ass. My dad's 74 years old, but he was an old boxer. He boxed in the Army and also in high school and college.
My dad was a boxer too.
Is that right?
Gloves, yeah.
And I think, and I've seen my dad throw a punch, not in anger, but, like screwing around. And he still, at 74, can knock the crap out of you. And I still, today, fear that my dad could kick my ass.
I have the same fear. I wouldn't even want to try it.
If he ever
got a hold of me, I would be over. I'd be running.
Yeah. No, I would be too. It would be absolutely over. My dad never raised a fist. Never.
Mine neither.
Never yelled at me. And I remember when I was in high school, my dad's curfew. I moved out with my dad when he had enough of my mom. And I lived with my dad, and he had a curfew. I had a curfew of 2 a.m., which in high school was like, you know, are you kidding? That's the best ever.
Yeah, that's not even a curfew in high school, really.
Yeah. I remember getting home one night after a strip poker game that I decided to play with the other girls and the guys at the party. I ended up losing. I was the first guy totally nude. And in high school, I was not self-conscious at all about my body. So I get home at like 6:30 in the morning, sneak into bed. You know, shut the alarm off, and I'm good to go, and I'm sleeping. My dad wakes me up at 9 o'clock. He says, "Hey, what time did you get home last night?" And I said, 1:55-ish, 8-ish. And he says, is that right? Around 2 o'clock you got home? I said, yeah, right. A little before 2. And he goes, all right. And he says, you know, the LA Times gets delivered at 5 in the morning. And he starts walking away. And I'm like, wait, Dad. I said, what does the Times have to do with me? He goes, well, it's just funny that you're parked on it. But instead of yelling at me for, you know, because he wouldn't go to sleep unless I was home. You know, he's one of those dads who worried. And instead of yelling at me or coming down and embarrassing me, you know, like, you a-hole, you know, you should have been home at 2 a.m., he just, you know, is a light way of telling me, don't do it anymore.
Letting you know that he knew. That you weren't getting by with anything.
That's exactly
right.
Not
pulling one over.
Yeah. I was parked on the L.A. Times. And it was the Sunday Times. You know, so it was, back then it was like, you know, 5 inches thick. The car was actually leaning up on the paper. All right, folks, an opportunity for you to share a decent story about your dad here, because it's the Friday before Father's Day. Frank Kramer is with us. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Now, when Randy Wang, who is also Ryan Wong, was that your first time you got drunk where your dad discovered you'd been boozing?
Yeah, the first time I got drunk, I came home, my dad found me. I was 18 at the time. And after I went to a party, I got drunk for the first time, had my first experience with booze. I'm hammered out of my mind. I get home, my dad, you know, asked me, you been drinking? He's like, yeah. So he sits me down. He's like, you know, we're talking for a minute. He said, you want a glass of water? And I said, sure. So he brings back a glass of water. I start drinking it. It's so hard to drink. I don't know why. And he's like, why can't I drink this? And he's like, well, when you're drunk, water's harder to drink. I find it a half hour later. It was a cup full of vodka. I was so hammered after that.
Yeah, I went for it.
With a roofie in it. Wow. You're blocking the rest of that story, aren't you?
I have to.
All right. But, yeah, fathers are – it really is terrific. I mean, you know, God bless all the fathers out there, because it really is a commitment. You know, when you're a father, Frankie Renzulli tells this better than I do, but before you have kids, that front door is as big – that door looks as big as a barnyard door or an airplane hangar door. You can always get out of it. But once you have kids, it turns into a mouse hole where you can never get out of that house, man. But the guys that are good fathers and, you know, and good husbands, they're pretty rare, you know?
Yeah, I was trying to think of stories about my dad, but then I started thinking about stories that my daughter could tell, like the stories I'm making for her.
Oh, yeah,
and
right.
There was we got that game Rock Band. It comes with the drum set and the guitar. It's kind of like Guitar Hero, but it's a whole band. And
that's cool.
There's a microphone. And so my daughter has a friend over for the night, and she's on her friend's on the microphone, and I'm on the drums, and my daughter's on lead guitar. And so I can't remember what song we're playing, but because me and my daughter play this all the time, we're pretty good at it. And so if one person is not doing well, then it kicks you out. Like, everyone failed. Band sucks.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And so I'm doing my part.
So
my daughter's
pressure.
Doing her part. Yeah, there's pressure, you know, because you can see like how well you're doing, and it's going lower and lower and lower, and you better catch up. And so I'm playing the drums, and her little friend's trying to keep up with the lyrics and sing, and she's just not doing anything. And I'm so into it, I go, "Sing it, bitch!" I don't know where that came from, but I was so into the game. Like, I see this, "Sing it, bitch!" So yeah, my 9-year-old daughter and her friend got to hear me yell that out.
"Sing it, bitch."
Well, I'm like, I'm just kidding. Don't tell your mom I said that.
Yeah, please.
I'm just funning.
Yeah, please don't tell mom. Please, please.
Cassidy's dad called me a bitch last night. What?
I had lunch, late lunch today with my wife and my daughter. And my daughter finished her lunch first, so she got up and she was running around the restaurant. And she almost ran into a waitress. So my wife picks her up, puts her down in the seat, and is pretty stern with her. Says, you got to sit down. If you're running around here, people can, you know, fall over you and drop food on you. You can get hurt. And I swear to God, this is true. My daughter, who's 2.5 years old, looks at my mom, holds up her fist, and says, "I'm going to knock your ass out."
She heard you saying that to the wife?
I don't know where she heard
that.
Yeah,
right.
I couldn't imagine where she's heard that.
I like him like it.
I know you do, baby. You love like us.
Blow me up, Tom.
Blow me up, Tom. Wait, what was it? Was it blow me up, Tom?
Blow me up, Tom.
Blow me up, Tom. All right.
You got to listen to Tom already.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. She loves like us. She's listening to Tommy all the time. All right. Let's take some calls here. How about Noel in Santa Monica? You're on 97.1. How are you?
How's it going?
All right. What's happening with you, baby?
Excellent. I'm about to hop on the 10 off the 405. And I just called. My dad just passed away recently. He had a good long life. He died at 69 and said he finally reached his favorite number and couldn't do a damn thing with it.
Jesus Christ.
But my favorite story of him is every Christmas after I turned 18, he would give me a little Christmas tree, if you know what I mean, for Christmas.
Right.
in a little bag, and that's why my dad was the coolest.
Wow. Their dad actually gave you weed once a year?
That's correct. Well, yeah, absolutely. I could bank on it.
But was it hard to suck down the tinsel, too? I mean, did he decorate the bud for you? A little Christmas bud, the balls?
No. Thank you, guys.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling, Noel.
Is he flocking it in that fake snow? Yeah, flocking your bud for you for Christmas?
I don't know if I'd ever be comfortable saying to my daughter, I finally reached the my favorite number and I can't do anything with it.
I know.
Like my daughter's like, ew.
That's the last thing you want to think about before he dies.
Yeah, a 69-year-old pervert. What the hell's
wrong
with
that? That's the first story that popped in her head.
Yeah, she'll always remember that story.
Jesus Christ.
And then don't you sort of envision your dad in that position and he lays that joke on you?
You're thinking of your own dad now?
Oh, man.
I know.
Man.
Thanks for putting that in my head, too. I'm thinking of your dad, too.
Oh. Have you ever walked in on your parents?
Never did.
Never. I've never have either.
Never. They had a lock on their door.
Yeah, might.
So then they would just be quiet for a second. I'd leave, but I never did catch them once.
Yeah, my parents. It was like the end of Get Smart. There's like 9 doors to get into their room. You know, there's a bank vault and metal doors. No, I never called my parents, but some of my friends had, and they said that is. You know, it is burnt into their memory, and they can remember it as if it was yesterday.
Because it's traumatic.
Yeah.
Kids remember traumatic things. Heidi caught her mother performing oral on her dad.
Is that right?
He was sitting in his TV chair.
Wow.
And I guess Heidi was supposed to be at volleyball or something like that, or softball.
Wait, so mom was doing it to dad?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that turned her gay.
You think? It might have something to do with that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really.
Oh, boy.
Really?
Yeah, really.
All right, let's talk to John in Artesia.
It's almost like she's here.
Yeah, I know.
Actually, this one's better.
All right, Johnny, you're on 97.1. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
All right, man.
Good. One of the best memories of my dad is a bunch of buddies and I had gone out drinking them at night. Said be home at midnight. So we got home, and we were pretty sloppy, and my room was on the back of the house behind the fence. So I had to climb through the backyard, peel the screen off. It was like 4 in the morning, and I'm crawling through the window. And, you know, the door opens, and it's my dad in his underwear going, you're home too early. Go back out. Target for life.
That's great. That's a cool dad.
No doubt. Do you have any sisters, Tim?
I got two sisters, a stepsister and a full-blooded sister, yeah.
Did he treat them differently as raising them and leniency? I guarantee there was no 2 a.m. curfew for your sister.
No, but my sister had the biggest bedroom in the house. You know, there's 5 boys and 1 girl.
Okay.
So we all had to share a room. I shared a room up until I was 16, 17.
Bunk beds?
Yeah, bunk beds.
You were top?
I was top bunk. Yeah.
At 17?
I think I was 6. I was driving, I know that. So, I parked the car in the driveway and go get in the top bunk.
And you were all around the same age? Teenager, same time?
No. Yeah, my parents had 6 kids in 8 years. And so you can imagine that. My mother was pregnant for, 6 times 9, 54. 54 months in 8 years.
So you traumatized by hearing your brother's wax sessions?
No, my brother was younger. My brother was much younger than I was. But I do.
So he just heard yours.
Yeah, but
and you're the top bunk too.
I clearly remember, that because bunk beds back then they weren't made very well, it's really moving.
You really get into it.
Yeah, maybe I helped him out. Like it was moving the bunk bed so radically. All right, Frank Kramer is with us. If you want to check out the show live on the internet, you can do so tonight. It is on camera, 971freefm.com, 971freefm.com. Sunday is Father's Day. Do you have a pretty decent dad? 520-9710, 888-520-9710. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show with special guest Frank Kramer. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM. And Frank Kramer is with us, everybody. Look at that. Just a common cold,
good
I guess,
stuff.
Right? Yeah. All right. But you can listen to Frank every single morning here at 10 a.m., 10 to 2. Look at that, 10 to 2 every day.
Actually, we almost start at 10:02 every day because Adam likes to go a little long.
Ah, how dare he.
He goes a little long.
And so 10:02 to 2, and then Bonaducci takes over.
Yeah, then Bonaducci.
Yeah. Now, you used to listen to yourselves on the way home because it was a repeat from 2 to 3.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd listen on the way home and just how much Frosty sucks and how great I am.
Do you miss that?
Well, it was kind of nice because you always had like an air check. Air check, right. Meaning we go back and just watch the show and see how much it sucked, or listen to the show and go, oh, God damn. Like, you know, we got to think before we speak next time. But yeah, we don't get that anymore.
Yeah, but it's also nice shows. Driving around, like, you know, between 2 and 3 when it used to be a repeat of your show, like pulling to a 7-Eleven and like some other person's listening to it. That was pretty cool. Huh?
No one was listening.
No?
That'd have been cool if that would have happened, but I was the only one listening to the show.
And it's,
explains the bonus plan I'm getting.
And it seems so conceited. You're sitting there waiting in your car before you go to Vons listening to yourself. All right. Father's Day is coming up day after tomorrow. It's Sunday. You got a decent dad over there? How about Stephanie in Huntington Beach? You're on 97.1. How are you?
Unbelievable.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. So here's my story. Frank, you're going to love this one.
All right, baby.
All right.
So Frank's my dad's name, too. So there you go. So 39 years old, went back to school full time, lost my job, and guess where I get to move back in?
Uh-oh.
Your old bedroom?
I get my own bedroom, thank God. I don't have to, like, spend the night on his floor.
With your Holly Hobby sheets still on it? You still got your Holly Hobby sheets on your bed?
Right? Oh, my God, you might as well. And
is,
so
is it the same bedroom you grew up in?
No. Thank God. Oh, God, no, that'd be even creepier. But anyway, so, God, Dad, this really kind of sucks. I really don't want to do this. You know, how am I going to have boys over? And, of course, I'm kind of, you know, ribbing him a little bit. He goes, what? Boys? Well, you don't have boys over at your apartment now, do you?
Oh, God.
And I go, yes, Dad, I'm 39 years old, and I'm a virgin.
Why can't you let your dad just believe you're a virgin? Make that his gift for Father's Day?
I don't think they believe it, but I think that they want to believe it. And his response was, well, I just think that's disrespectful. I would never have women in the house with you around. And I go, Dad, I really wish you would.
No. It is disrespectful. I think you shouldn't have boys over to your dad's house. If you have to move back and with your dad at 39, stop being a slut for a while and work on getting a better job.
Well, also, Stephanie?
Yes, darling?
I don't want to be the boy coming over to that house.
I know. Can you imagine? Yes, I already feel enough as a loser as it is, so thank you.
I don't want to be the guy sitting around watching TV with you and your dad and waiting for him to go to bed so you guys can hit it. You know?
Yeah, thank you. I already have the big L. You all don't need to tell me. But I think it's very cute that at 76 years old and 39 that he actually does not think that.
Well, why can't you just start sleeping with some guy and convince him to let you move in for a while?
You know, because I listen to Tom.
No, but it works the other way. You're going to use the guy for a place to stay, then you DTD.
I don't do that. Because I'm actually one of the girls that doesn't do that type of thing.
Yeah, but the penalty of that is you're living at home.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Tommy. Hey, is your mom still around?
My mom is.
Okay, and your mom and dad still live together?
No, they don't. They've been divorced. Yeah, right. No, so yeah, mom's not even in the picture. He does wish, you know, I've been with the whole, what was the last caller that said that he died at 69 because he couldn't use it anymore?
Something like that. You didn't get that.
Yeah.
But you know, this actually sounds like a great reality show. You know,
it does.
Yeah, the kid's moving back home. 39, man. Hey, where are you going to celebrate your 40th?
On her back, sounds like.
Frank, that's not nice.
Is Dad going to go out and get you a cake?
No, but he does have the mug that says 40 and over the hill that he's been saving for me for 10 years.
Now,
so.
Have you been keeping yourself up? I mean, if you had to compare yourself to a celebrity, who do you look like?
Celebrity.
Don
Knotts. That people say that I look like?
Della Reese.
Oh, I wish that I could be that and not care. But no.
Well, what do you look like?
No, I'm going to say. Because you guys will corn on me all night.
What a celebrity.
Before she had plastic surgery?
Right.
Meg Ryan.
Oh, okay. That's a good look.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
Ryan.
Yeah. I don't know. All right, Stephanie, we thank you for calling, baby.
I don't believe it. You believe it?
I don't know.
No way.
You know what I never believe is when a girl says she's 48, but she looks like she's 25. I'm like, nah, sweetheart, you know, I'm not taking 23 years. I can see most of those 23 years. I understand if you're 48 and you say you look like you're 42, but when you say you're 48 and you look like you're 28 or 25.
This is after a lot of work and she thinks that she looks 25
again.
Yeah,
she still thinks she is.
We can still tell that you've had a lot of work done.
We can tell. We can look at the neck. We can look at the hands. You can look at the eyes, and
I'd rather bang an old bag of bones with extra skin.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Because and what are the age spots?
Oh, right, yeah, the brown spots.
Then to have a woman who's obviously had a lot of things done, the laser dermabrasions, the neck tuck, right. The eye tuck, the big lips. Because what did she look like that she had to go do all that?
Right.
I'm more comfortable with the bag of bones.
Did you ever have this happen to you when you're driving down the street and you see this, like, great ass, great legs, very thin woman with long, like, blonde hair.
Then her balls fall out of her skirt?
No, and you pull up around and she's, like, 65. You know? From behind, she looks. Yeah, from behind, she looks great, but she's like 62. You know,
Jesus Christ.
Like, oh man, no wonder she's walking with traffic. All right, let's talk to Colin in Los Angeles, 97.1. Colin, I'm sorry, I put you on the wrong bank there. I'm a novice.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, dude?
Hey, what's up?
All right, what do you got?
I'm doing all right. I was calling to tell you guys. You guys were talking earlier about how you guys didn't think you could take your dad.
Right.
Not in a fight. No.
In a physical fight. Right.
Yeah. I got in a physical fight with my dad, and the scene was basically the power was out in my house, and I had asked him to come over to borrow some money, but he was a little drunk and started yelling at my girlfriend and me, and he grabbed me by the shirt. So I grabbed him by the shirt.
Wow.
And so he threw me on the floor, and we both wrestled in high school. So I took him out by the knees and grabbed him to the floor. And my girlfriend runs back into the room and is trying to break up the fight between us. And I had my dad kind of in like a chokehold. And I said, and she was like, oh, let go of him. And I had said, he needs to understand he's an old man.
Wow.
And I kind of yelled it in his ear.
But he was drunk. I wouldn't be bragging about kicking my drunk dad's ass. I think I could kick my drunk dad's ass.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe. But it was a
You know he's going to whip your ass now when you're at least expecting it.
Yeah. By the way, are you Jewish?
No.
Oh, that sounds like a Jewish thing.
Colin? Irish?
No, it sounds like a Jewish thing where your dad comes over drunk and you guys fist fight.
Were we fist fighting now?
You're not Jewish at all? You didn't have a bar mitzvah?
No.
All right. Well, once in a while, you know, you miss it. But I thought I nailed that guy. Damn, I thought that was perfect.
I don't think you can ever come back from that, though.
That's odd. All right, Todd in Los Angeles, show 97.1 Free FM. How are you?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
All right.
Frank's Army.
Hey, man.
Yeah. So, growing up as a kid, my dad was always a magician. You know, he always was pulling tricks, blowing our minds as a little kid. And there's a story when we were little kids driving back from vacation, the four of us in the family truckster, you know, my older sister and my mom, my dad, and we're driving on Alligator Alley, and we're all thirsty. And Alligator Alley is a two-lane road, and it's in a swamp in Florida, so there's nowhere to stop for drinks. And so we're all thirsty in the car, and my dad said, well, I'm going to do a trick. You know, name out the type of soda that you want. And so, you know, I went first, and I wanted a grape soda. So I was probably 8 years old at the time. You
Jewish?
Know, we're driving.
Grape soda sounds like a Jewish thing.
So we're driving, and he's like, all right, I'm going to roll down the window, and as the 18-wheeler goes by, I'm going to get a grape soda from him. And we're like, oh, no way. How is he going to do this one, you know? So roll down the window. He says, all right, here it comes. He puts his hand out the window, and he starts banging the roof of the car. You know, he's banging the roof, banging, making all this noise. And the 18-wheeler goes by, and he pulls his hand in. He goes, I got one. And he turns it around to us. It's a grape soda. He pulled the grape soda out of the 18-wheeler doing 60 miles an hour on the freeway and blew our minds, you know? And then he does it again for my sister and my mom. And we were just freaking out. We're little kids in the car going crazy. It was just a classic story. One of those things that you just always remember your dad being the prankster, you know, pulling the tricks.
Were you smoking weed at five?
What's that?
Were you smoking weed at five?
Am I smoking weed at five?
Yeah, how did he pull the grape sodas out? Where did they come from?
He palmed it in his hand.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty cool. Oh, that's actually pretty cool. My grandfather used to do that. He used to stop the car on the freeway and, like, back it up on the shoulder and run outside the car, and he'd come back and he'd have himself a quarter, right? He'd say, "Hey, I found a quarter on the, you know, on the." And we always thought that he had great eyes. You know, that he at 70 miles an hour, he could spot a quarter on the shoulder. But that was just like his dumb trick.
That was your grandfather?
Yeah. He used to, you know, stop the car and risk all of our lives on the Ohio Turnpike, you know, just so he could pull this trick and come back. He goes, "Hey, I found a quarter for each of you." You're like, "Wow, look at that." And he says, "Well, here's how you do it. What you do is you look at the shoulder. Anytime there's a shiny object, you know, that's probably a quarter." And it was his way of telling us to, you know, getting us to shut the F up, because he used to drive us from Cleveland to Detroit, which is like a, you know, 5-hour ride or 4-hour drive. And so instead of us fighting in the car and yelling and stuff, all we'd be doing is look at the shoulder for quarters.
That's brilliant.
It was great. Because then we'd see, you know, see something shiny and go, "Hey, Papa, I think I saw a quarter." He'd stop and go out and give us each a quarter.
Yeah, my grandfather, he was best known. He worked for the city. He was in public service.
Right.
And I can't remember the office that he held, but he had to vote for him. And he had access to everywhere in the courthouse. And they had a pigeon problem. And so he soaked, you know, pounds and pounds of corn in poison for weeks, and then went up there and fed all the pigeons on top of the courthouse. And so they were falling all over my hometown.
Oh,
these pigeons
Jesus.
Out of the air. It was his fault. Hey, we on the radio? You think I'd done this once or twice before?
That's
my grandfather would never say pooping, so yeah, I had to use what he
said.
Got to
use the S word, yeah, absolutely. But that is wild. That reminds me of a story that my uncle. I shouldn't even tell this story in the air because my uncle's still alive. He'll get really pissed. But my aunt's friend had some cats, and they had a litter of kittens. So it was like 9 of them, and they asked my uncle, "Hey, when we're on vacation, will you take the 9 cats and either give them away or just, you know, take them to the pound or whatever? Just get rid of them. Just get rid of the cats."
That's what he heard.
Yeah, get rid of. He heard get rid of the cats. So they come back from vacation, and all 9 kittens are gone, plus the mom and the dad. All the cats are gone. And the wife gets hysterical, and they ask my uncle. The guy asked my uncle, "Hey, what'd you do with the cats?" He goes, "I got to get the 2 back from my wife." He goes, "I drowned them all in the Detroit River. Every one of them. All 9 plus the 2 parent cats."
Now, did he put it in a burlap sack like he was supposed to? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought he just held them under like, you know, Andrew Yates
sack,
thing.
And,
dead kitties.
Bang. Right into the river. It was my great uncle. He's like 90. Geez, he's got to be 96 by now. 97. And I still had a tough time in my relationship with him after that.
I know. You look at him so different.
Yeah.
Because I had a buddy
like
my roommate.
One story like that, and you're like, whoa.
He told me the same story about a bag of puppies.
And drowned him?
And he took his kid out there with him. You know, it's like,
Jesus.
Because the dogs run free where I'm from in Indiana. So,
right.
You know, you get a dog because it just walked up on your.
Right. All of a sudden, it's your dog.
Yeah, and it's your dog. You start feeding it, and then. But none of them are fixed.
Right.
So they start having puppies all the time. And so this guy's dad is loaded up all the new puppies and into the river.
Oh, Jesus.
That was common, I guess.
I guess it was.
It's a common practice. You don't want a puppy, put it in the river.
Oh, boom. All right. Frank Kramer is with us, everybody. We got to take a small break, and we'll come back with totally open phones every single Friday from 10 to 11 o'clock. So if you have anything interesting to say, 520-9710. And 888-520-9710. Again, Frank Kramer's with us. You can see us live on the internet at 971freefm.com. That's 971freefm.com. And click on the little, I guess what it is, the little picture there in the middle of the website. And it's all thanks to StickCam, stickcam.com. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM.